This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. Want to update you before I get into all the Fast 15 stories. Want to update you on just a couple of things. If you were listening, was it just yesterday, Nicole, when we talked to the mom of the kid at Graham Kapowsin, or was it 2 days ago?
Two days ago.
Okay. So we talked to a mom. She has two boys at the school. One is masked. The other one has a terminal illness. And the school says he must wear a mask. Well, the doctors say he only has 57% lung capacity. And further constricting his breathing is not a good thing. And so the mom cannot understand. So the school is making the kid either sit in isolation. And the whole point, he's in a wheelchair, this kid. Mom said the average lifespan for this disorder that he has, it's a neurophysiological disorder, is 15 to 23 years. He just wants to be at school with his friends. And they said, you either have to wear a mask or you have to sit in an isolation room with a paraeducator. And so, Nicole, you've been corresponding with the school and you've been talking to the mom. And right now, they're still at loggerheads, it sounds like, that they just can't work out any kind of arrangements so this kid can be in class with his buddies.
It really sounds like they don't want to.
I mean, the school doesn't want to.
The things they're asking for are just obnoxious. Like a complete access to the doctors so they can talk to his doctors without his mom's listening to his mom's consent.
When we first got that from the school, I said, well, this sounds weird. But yeah, they said that the mom has to sign a document that will allow the school to or school personnel to talk to his their son's doctor, whether or not she's involved, and for any period of time. And I said, well, that's just asking way too much. And now the school, they don't care to come on because we said, well, we'll try to mediate this. I'd love to get the school officials on and get the mom on at the same time. And now has the mom provided them with the doctor's 53% lung capacity diagnosis?
Yes, she has sent them stuff from the doctor, but then they told her that they couldn't read all the doctor's notes. The way that they wanted her to decipher them, and they wanted to talk to the doctors directly.
It's just very, very strange.
And then she told us that he was terminal, and then I guess a nurse or somebody said to her that, yes, he's terminal, but this isn't life-threatening, which doesn't make any sense at all. And she said that the mask doesn't, this mask part of it isn't life-threatening, but the lung capacity, breathing, and he is at risk of heart issues because of it as well. So I'm pretty sure heart and lungs contributes to,
it's just all crazy.
Ability to breathe and live.
We've all got to. It's like that school I talked about earlier last hour about, where the kids can take the mask down to take a bite of food, but must pull the mask up to chew and swallow. We are going insane.
She said that she went to pick him up after they told her that they had put it looks like a beekeeper thing on him when he got there. So she was mad and she went to pick him up and he was at lunch and she went into the lunchroom. And in the lunchroom, he doesn't have to have it on, obviously, because it's lunch. But they've also taken away the tables from all of the kids. So the chairs are next to each other like they would be at a table, but they've taken away the tables, which makes no sense. And he can sit in that room without his mask and with his lunch, but makes no sense at all. And I can't believe these are the people that are in charge of our kids, future. It's crazy.
What point does taking out the tables make? Because it's not a surface. We learned that long ago, that it doesn't sit on a surface and you can't just touch a table and maybe somebody wipe off the table. If somebody just sneezed on the table and you put your hand in it and then licked your hand, that might be kind of dangerous. But no, none of this makes sense. So anyway, I just wanted to let everybody know that we are still working on this. We are still trying to mediate it. And, I know the high school. They don't want to be mean to this kid. But I also know that this kid, you know, only has a few more years to live. And he wants to be in school with his friends. So we are continuing to try to mediate between the school and the mom, and we'll stress out
about some of the story. I mean, we're getting stories that are so terrible. I mean, volleyball, somebody tested positive and they make the vaccinated students or the vaccinated players can play and the unvaxxed have to sit out for 2 weeks. So they're punishing kids that don't get vaccinated. Right. But I mean, we're getting so many of these stories. I don't even know how to give them the attention they deserve because there's so many of them. We have lost our minds in the state.
I've tried to respond to several people, but I can't respond to everybody because we're just getting too many of these. And it is crazy. The kids are the least effective transmitters of the disease. They are the best able to deal with it if they happen to get the disease. And it's just gone way too far.
And other states are doing, I mean, I get it. Like, you know, Texas, there's a lot of cases, whatever, but our numbers are just as bad now because we're all back to regular life and it's in the air and it's just as bad for everybody now.
A couple of weeks ago, MSNBC and CNN, they were telling everybody that college football games are going to become super spreader events because nobody's wearing masks in the stadium. And then, as I mentioned, the Seahawks game on Sunday, 90% of the fans there were unmasked. And it seems to be fine, but we're torturing our children in school. But you can go and have some beers in the stands at a college or pro football game, and everything's fine, and you don't have to follow any of the rules. You don't have to follow the mask mandate, as long as it's the Seattle Seahawks and they're popular, but the schools have to, and none of it makes sense. It is a cult. It has become a gigantic cult. And I'll tell you what else is, how we've caved in to the homelessness plague throughout our region. We told you a few weeks ago at Lower Woodland and Woodland Park Zoo, Green Lake and Woodland Park and Lower Woodland. There are homeless encampments everywhere. And the parents have had it because they can't take their kids safely to Green Lake, to Woodland Park. There are thousands and thousands of runners. Lower Woodland is one of the great cross-country running tracks imaginable. And I've been to many. My middle daughter was a cross-country runner, and I've been to many, many meets at Lower Woodland, and it's just a fantastic and their coaches at our high school, because our high school is right next to Hamlin Park up in Shoreline, or I don't know, Lake Forest Park. I don't know where it is. It's right next to the high school. Their coaches would take them to Woodland Park for weekend training sessions because it was such a cool, varied course, you know, good hills, all of that. Well, they can't use it. The Parks Department is denying all cross-country and running permits for Lower Woodland because it's all been taken over by the homeless. And, you know, when people say to me, what's the solution with the homeless? The solution, I've said it a million times, that offer housing and mental health counseling and alcohol and drug abuse counseling to everybody who wants it. If they don't want it, tell them they either have to get out or we'll put them in jail. And then everybody says, what's the crime? The crime is theft of tens of millions of dollars collectively. When we can't use Green Lake or Woodland Park or parks in Snohomish and Pierce and Kitsap counties and all the other counties that surround us, we all spend, if you look at your property taxes, we spend a fortune on parks that are unusable in large part because you have let mostly drug vagrants take over the parks. And it is, first of all, most of them are on drugs. That's a crime, although not in King County. There was a huge fire two nights ago at Lower Woodland. There was a gigantic fire in Ballard at the encampment 3 days ago. You're ruining the environment. Trees burned in the three fires at Lower Woodland. Yes, offer help. Tell them we will help them get their life back. That's what I say about Chick Shadel, because I'm sincere about that. We should not just watch as people die, as people kill themselves. We shouldn't just sit back. That is the most unloving thing to do. And the Democrats that run everything around here are the most unloving human beings ever when it comes to homeless. We spend billions of dollars, and the problem just gets worse and worse. We pay the executive director of Lehigh $270,000 a year, and it gets worse and worse. It's a big homelessness industrial complex, and we're watching people kill themselves. So this Woodland Park thing, mom told Q13 News that the other reason they can't go to the park.
I think I'm maxed out on my frustration.
Because despite the perfect terrain,
my daughter will come home and she'll say, oh, I saw a man in his bottom. It's just...
Naked?
Naked.
There are people using drugs. There are people who are mentally ill.
But Dory, why should we lock them up? A man said that there have been attacks there.
There's been assaults to parents and to runners in this park since 2017.
And another woman pondered with Q13. What's the end game?
When will it stop? Like, will we just surrender our park because the city can't find safe places for people who are living here?
And the reason is because for most on the council, the Marxists on the Seattle City Council, and I am not exaggerating. I'm not saying this for the sake of hyperbole. The Marxists on the Seattle City Council want to see the continued destruction of our city, of our region, because they truly believe. And by the way, this is not my hypothesis. This is in the socialist alternative paperwork that I read to you a few years ago from Shama Sawant's campaign, or her people. They're the people who control her, the socialist alternative group. And they have said that they want to tear cities down and then rebuild in a Marxist image. This is not my crackpot theory. This isn't me just wildly speculating based on nothing. This is me informing you with facts for years now that we've been on this trajectory. And I tried to head it off at the pass, but people didn't take it seriously. Oh, they don't want to really destroy the city, Dory. Yeah, they did. They did want to. They do want to. They will want to. And so until we get somebody, but instead everybody just said, it's her fault. It's his fault.
Yes, City Parks Department's trying their best, but it's the city council who has failed children in our community.
We reached out to city council. A spokesperson says the council isn't responsible for permits, so they referred us back to Parks and Rec.
Someone needs to take some action. If the mayor doesn't do it, if city council doesn't do it, then maybe it's a bunch of kids on a bridge with some signs saying, we miss this. We miss this park.
But you know what else is coming? I've told you. Vigilantism is going to come. And I don't want that. And I pray it doesn't happen. I certainly would never advocate for that. But I guarantee you, people are fed up. And when cops' response time has gotten as long as it is, because we've cut the police force so much, you better believe people are going to carry guns, and they're not going to let themselves be victims. And that, too. I will stand by that prediction. And then in the next couple of years, let's see if that one comes true. And all the fires that are... Oh, where are all the environmentalists? Where's the global warming crowd? Hey, Jay Inslee, why don't you care about this when trees are burning down in these homeless encampments?
Over the weekend, Seattle Fire responded to 3 fires at camps around Green Lake. I'm told so far this year, they've responded to 925 fires and illegal burns at encampments. Already about 100 more than all of last year.
925 fires in homeless encampments. And often it's just putrid smoke, plastics that are burning. They get those fiberglass, corrugated fiberglass. I see that in so many of these encampments. They have propane tanks that are blowing up. Huge conflagration at Ballard Commons a few days ago. 3 fires at Lower Woodland. I watched trees burn on the news there. Hey, Jay, I thought you cared about global warming. I thought you cared about the planet. I thought you cared about carbon emissions. Why don't you do something about this? Since nobody in Seattle will. It's the largest city in your state. But it's okay. You can destroy the environment as long as you are a drug addict. But if you're a hardworking person and you need your car to get to work so you can feed your family and pay your mortgage, you must be destroyed. Then we can get you out in one of those homeless camps eventually, and you'll be dependent on government for your subsistence instead of yourself. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? All right, next up in the Fastest 15, Seattle has also extended the eviction moratorium for a year. We told you about that yesterday, but let me update that. Jenny Durkin says that they are going to continue to steal the land of landlords. Property owners, apartment owners, rental house owners. They're going to just steal the land and force them to give free rent to people who are not paying their rent. And so it is absolute theft. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up again today when we headed on our show yesterday is just last week, the United States Supreme Court said that any federal eviction moratorium would be unconstitutional, as we have predicted on this show. Because it is an illegal taking by government of private property. And now they say, well, hundreds of thousands of people might be forced out onto the streets. Well, what about the tens of thousands of people who own these houses and these apartment buildings, and they're going to lose them because they still have to pay their mortgage, they still have to pay the utilities, they still have to pay the property taxes, and they have zero income coming in. Why is every story framed, except on my show, apparently, every story's framed on what this is going to do. And a lot of the people, these renters, are deadbeats. They're still working, a lot of them. They're getting income. It's just that Jenny Durkin said, yeah, don't pay. Don't pay your rent. We'll extend it. Now, if you lost your job because of COVID, then yes, we should help you out. But, what did, City Council announce yesterday? Well, we're going to buy $50 million worth of high-rise three buildings on Capitol Hill, and we're going to put homeless in there. Some of them have a view of downtown and Elliott Bay. I mentioned most of our kids can't afford to buy their own place in this economy. But if you've landed yourself in homelessness, then we'll just give you an apartment in a brand new high rise. You know how those buildings are going to look in about 5 years? After thousands of police calls and Medic One calls that always happen when we put up housing like this. The madness continues, and Seattle is now operating in defiance of the Supreme Court, which calls these eviction moratoriums illegal. That is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast. Dory's Fastest 15.
In 15 minutes, we'll give you the word. Hey, so Wednesday afternoon, time for our weekly visit with Brock Huard. He will join us live next here on the Dory Monson Show.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's Hump Day with Huard.
Blue in it, check. Brown, 24, Razor.
Brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy on Cairo Radio 97.3 FM. Where the 12s hear the Hawks.
Play fake to Benny Russell, lets it go. Down the far sideline, reaching up, making the catch. Touchdown, Seahawks!
Here's Dory Monson.
Fresh from a triumphant, some would say even conquering visit to Pullman, Brock Huard joins us live. Hey, how are you?
I'm doing good, Dory. Yeah, it's too bad you only made three trips to the Palouse.
Yeah, it is. But, I'm past it now.
I think my wife will be making her third trip to Missoula this weekend. So bringing Macy up there for a little basketball recruiting deal, watch the Grizz play football, see Haley. Check in on your kids, see how things are going. It was beautiful. I mean, The weather was kind of crappy, but that place is not the place I played at 25 years ago. There has been There's just been some money pumped into that campus significantly. Facilities, tremendous. Their athletic facilities, they did exactly right. This being the Washington State Cougars building, you know, the new football offices and weight room right into the stadium. The stadium, they've upgraded. It sits right at the center of campus.
You know why they have all that? I mean, I haven't publicized this much, and I don't like talking about it, but now that I'm the dad of an alum, you know. I do what I
can. That's weird. I was looking for the Monson building because when you donate.
I'm too humble for that. I don't do it for notoriety.
That's true. You don't
everything
like it.
I do is on
I
the
I thought
DL.
It could be a Dory Monson exclusive building, you know, just right there. Just put the exclusive on it. But nope, couldn't find it.
I let them put other people's names on the buildings. That's how giving I am.
I even went to the Coug, Dory. Did you stop by the Coug?
I've been to the Coug. Absolutely, I've been to the Coug twice.
Pretty good burger. Not a bad little burger in there either.
Yes.
Good little time.
So I've been hearing all these rumblings that after the Seahawk game on Sunday, that's a bad loss at home
that,
isn't it?
That's the first in Pete's history. Double-digit lead, a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter, Dory.
Yeah.
He's never lost that at home. In fact, one other time in the history of that new building, 2004 against the Rams, was the only other time they had a 14-point lead. There have been some bad Seahawks teams since 2004. And, 14-point lead, they just blew it.
And after the game, or I guess it was Monday, do you do the Pete Carroll thing Monday mornings now again?
Not right now.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe eventually.
I should have asked you that off the air.
No.
Sorry. But I know he comes very professional of me. I know he comes on 710 ESPN, and he said something that some people took as kind of critical, a little critical of Russell Wilson.
I thought Russ took advantage of the game well until the last sequence. We had a play action pass, and I wish we could control the ball and check the ball down there. Took a shot at Tyler, and then we went up to DK on second down, and then our opportunity escapes us right there, and they get the ball inside the 40. So that sequence was the one. I wish Russ could have helped us there, just made completions for us. We needed to just move the ball there and change the field position at least in overtime, because you're playing field goal right there, and unfortunately we didn't get it done.
That's very unpaid to say. Rush could have helped us. That's public criticism in a semi-soft way, but that's public criticism, isn't it?
I mean, Pete is as good a cop as there is, Dory. For 12 years, we've watched him, right? John Schneider, every once in a while in the front office, like most pro teams, you got to have a bad cop who's got to handle the money and the contracts. And Matt Thomas, their capologist, they let those guys, if they have to be a bad cop, they're the bad cops, and Pete's a good cop, man. He loves everybody. Everybody loves him. He's a Pied Piper. He's positivity, right? I mean, everything oozes out of him. That is as far as he ever goes publicly to criticize a player and to hold him, I guess, publicly accountable. That has not happened in their 10-year relationship. But then again, this offseason was nothing that had ever happened either, where Russell was pretty vocal about things he wanted changed and better protection around him and more help around him. And Pete and crew were pretty mum on that. Didn't say a whole lot in the offseason. And I knew this was coming, Dory. You know this is coming. Okay, when adversity hits in the NFL, and the NFL is all about adversity because everybody's good. There is a very little line between the good and bad teams. Every team has talented players. You can lose any given weekend, and you knew adversity would come. And when it came, you kind of heard Pete, I think, bark back just a little bit at his quarterback.
Well, and you have gigantic egos, and even if you are the most successful quarterback coach duo in history, New England there, Tom Brady said, I want out. I don't want this anymore with Bill Belichick. So anyway, this morning on your station, 710, Greg Bishop, is he still with Sports Illustrated? Greg Bishop?
He is, yeah. He was with Salk this morning, yep.
Yeah. Okay, here's his prediction.
To me, it speaks to the tenuous nature of the franchise quarterback in the NFL. You know, I think that what you see are some hurt feelings, from last spring and summer. The trade demand that wasn't a trade demand and all the teams that he could play for. And, beyond that, I think that, you got to fall back on the slogan my wife put on a T-shirt for me. Haters going to have some good points. And I think that there are points that Pete made that are totally fair, that could be improved upon, that could be ultimately done better. To me, this looks like short of a big-time year, a Super Bowl appearance, a Super Bowl victory. I would say that, you know, it's pretty possible, if not even likely, that this is the last year that they're together.
The last year of Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll together. Do you agree with that?
The last ride. I do. I think that makes a lot of sense. Greg has written a number of stories on Russell. Greg has written on Pete Carroll. He's written on the environment there over the last 10 years of that marriage. So he doesn't speak out of turn.
Did he do the story when Richard Sherman left, when Sherman was leaking all kinds of negative, nasty stuff?
I think that was Seth Wickersham, I believe, wrote that one. But Greg is super connected there to both sides of the story. And I tend to agree with that. If they don't win big, you know, they don't make it back to the NFC Championship game, something of that nature. You referenced it. I mean, if it could happen in New England where you win six titles, why in the world do you not think it can happen anywhere else? It happened in Green Bay with Aaron Rodgers and the previous coach. He had run off. It's very, very rare that you see that marriage exist. And even at the height of it, even the best of the best with Belichick and Brady couldn't make it work.
Well, that's why I've run off as many program directors as I have, Brock.
Yeah, and that's why Suzanne should make you that same shirt that Greg Bishop's wife made. As I was listening, I was thinking, Suzanne, if you're listening right now, Nicole, if you're listening right now, maybe we can make Dory a little shirt like that. Sometimes haters have good points, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
I always have good points. Not sometimes.
No. You're not the hater. No, you're not the hater.
Oh, I thought you were telling me I was the hater.
No, I'm talking about the haters out there. I'm talking about the haters. Sometimes they have good points too, Dory.
Not if they disagree with me. And they don't. All right, where are you talking to the nation from this weekend?
I am down in Waco. Pretty good one. Iowa State, 14th ranked, down at Baylor. And then I'm up in the big Little Apple of Manhattan, Kansas, following week, Oklahoma, K-State. So get a little Texas, get a little Midwest flavor the next couple weeks.
Very cool that every one of your games is nationwide on the big dog Fox Network. That's good. That's good stuff.
Well, you get to check it out, Dory. You get to let me know what you think every once in a while, which is great. Yeah. I appreciate you watching.
All right, Brock Heward, you can hear him. I should check all this stuff out before I say it.
Every morning I'm on
every
the
morning?
Salk. Yes, I
okay.
am. Every right. single morning.
Okay.
You can hear me on the Mike Salk Show, 710 okay. ESPN Seattle. You should also ask Sean during break what I was singing to him, because I like
I'm
to asking, sing to warm
I'm
up my
right
voice.
Now. Sean moves Brock singing to you.
Oh, it was wonderful. It was a little Boys to Men. Was it I'll Make Love to You, Brock?
Good. Is that the name of the song?
Well, they do have a song called I'll Make Love to You Like You Want
Me To. Is that
what you
were singing, Brock?
I don't know. Is that what I was singing? I wasn't singing the...
Well, sing it right now.
Yeah, sing a little bit. Take down the bumper music for just a second,
no.
John. Yeah, give us just a taste. Come on.
No, got to go. Got to roll
on. No, come on. Just a little taste.
Do you know that in my mind, I'm like, I think I know this song. It's a Boys to Men. And I had no idea that Sean, you're right, that was the song. So I apologize if that was offensive.
Not offensive at all.
Just four bars. Just give me four bars of it.
No, I am not going to do that.
I'll jump in with you.
Well, I'll jump in.
Okay, go ahead. You guys start, and then I'll remember what I was saying.
No, I don't know the song. I got to go.
Got
to
go.
I'll talk to you next
time. To the end of the road. Till he can't let go. Gotta go. Bye.
Roll on.
I'll make love to you.
Well, as you hear, we've kept Brock Heward on for an extra segment, where he said he would just sing the entire time. So, take it away, Brock!
So I wanted to play this because Brock was actually correct. It's a different song. It's End of the Road, which was what he stated in his lyrics.
Ah.
But I think it was funnier the way it turned out because you made him blush, Sean.
Okay.
Sean.
I guess some of my inner feelings were just coming out on the air.
You blush maker, you. Okay, what do we got here? We got Bill Gates was doing an interview with Judy Woodruff on PBS. And I don't know what they were supposed to be talking about, but she surprised him with a out-of-the-blue question about his old buddy, Jeffrey Epstein. And, you know, reportedly, that's a significant reason Bill Gates admitted to having an affair with another Microsoft person early on, but reportedly Melinda Gates was very upset that after Jeffrey Epstein had been found guilty of child molestation, Bill Gates was still his buddy and would go on Jeffrey Epstein's private plane and would go to Epstein's high-rise apartment in New York City. And it's something that Bill Gates has just never really opened up about. And he sounded very uncomfortable when Judy Woodruff brought it up on PBS.
You know, those meetings were a mistake. They didn't result in what he purported, and I cut them off. You know, that goes back a long time ago now. So there's nothing new on that.
It was reported that you continued to meet with him over several years, and that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Well, and, you know, I've said I regretted having those dinners. And there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead. So, you know, in general, you always have to be careful.
He's dead have to do with everything. And by the way, oh, yeah, he killed himself, right? Wink, wink. Jeffrey Epstein had, you know, lots of dirt on lots of powerful people. You know, his buddies with Bill Clinton, but he killed himself. There was no reason for anybody to want to murder him in prison. No siree. We've talked a lot about the steady erosion of our rights and our freedoms. If you were listening in the noon hour, I talked to the mayor of Winlock, Washington, down in Lewis County, Brandon Svensson. And he and the entire city council, they've passed a resolution declaring that Jay Inslee needs to have a medical evaluation for narcissistic personality disorder. If you didn't hear the interview, he ran down every element of narcissistic personality disorder and said that Jay Inslee checks all of the boxes. Here's what worries me. It's the direction in which we are headed. Because, as I said, if you told me 2 years ago, pre-COVID, that there was the remotest chance that we'd have to show medical cards to get into a restaurant, that would have seemed impossible. And yet here we are less than 2 months or 2 years later, and that's what's happening. Down under, Australia, New Zealand, I mean, they have totally gone nuts down there. In Australia, they're doing that app that I've told you about. It's they will randomly text you, and then you have to take a picture of yourself in the place where it indicates you are through geolocation, or else the authorities will come and swoop you up. In New Zealand, two men right now, today, are facing prison time because they allegedly smuggled buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken, coleslaw, and fries into a city in New Zealand during the coronavirus lockdown. The arrest was made near the border of Auckland, and residents there have been under a very strict lockdown for a month that forbids restaurants from opening and restricts takeout food orders. But these guys, they needed some KFC. I just think it's hilarious that KFC cannot use finger licking good anymore because we're not allowed to lick our fingers in these perilous times. But that's where we're headed. The guys are heading to prison if they're found guilty of smuggling in that delicious Kentucky Fried Chicken. Oh, man, that stuff's good. Okay, quick timeout. Check the news for you. Big lead to two next here on the Dory Monson Show.